If you've ever found blood in the bathroom sink after brushing, you're not alone. 1 in 3 people suffer from bleeding gums, and it could be a sign of gum disease. The good news is that Corsodil can help. Corsodil Complete Protection Toothpaste is specially formulated to help stop bleeding gums by enhancing plaque removal. You can find them at your nearest supermarket or high street pharmacy. For more information, visit corsodil.co.uk.
Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Oh my God, dude, this has been one of the hardest weeks I've had in a long time.
Really?
Yeah. This week was like, so I did a cruise ship last week, right? I leave on Saturday night at like midnight, and it was great because I got to watch all the fights. There was like 100 fights going on. And then I left at midnight. I had a layover in Texas at, I don't know, like a 5-hour layover. No, I was like a 5-hour flight, get off in Houston, fly to New Orleans, get on a cruise ship. And then I had an audition that came in for a Verizon commercial, but the audition was for a comedian who's late for a gig. Right. So I'm just like, and then he starts doing the show from the car. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Fuck it. I'll just do it on my way. Right. So now I'm like on the airplane doing the audition. I'm doing a baggage claim. Great. So I get off, and normally when I work on the cruises, no matter where you are, they'll be like, you just get to wherever you go, and then you have to find the port somehow. Like, they always say there's people going to be waiting for you. They're never waiting for you. You're like, okay, you know, you all of a sudden you're like Magellan. You're in the middle of Honduras trying to tell the cab driver to take you to where the ocean is. And then they'll reimburse you for the money, but it's just, this, for some reason, I get off the flight and I get like 9 calls saying like, the driver's there. The driver's waiting for you. Driver needs you there. The driver. I'm like, oh shit. Like that never happened. So then I'm like, okay. So I go, the guy's like, Adam. This guy's flagging me down. So I go, I see my luggage. I grab my luggage. And then I'm still doing the audition. Like I'm in his town car doing the audition. I get on the flight. Show's not till 11:30 at night. It's 9 in the morning. I'll just take a nap, and then I'll, you know, because I didn't sleep at all. Yeah, I took a sleeping pill for the flight. You know,
I'm like, you're on the boat now. You're on the boat to take a nap.
Yeah, now I'm on the boat, and the boat starts moving. Right, I'm like, you know, I should go get a workout. I'm gonna get a workout. I open up my luggage. It's not my luggage. Like, I took somebody else's luggage with me. And we're on a ship for 3 days before we get to a port. We're not going to Key West where I can call up. So now, I got to go to the entertainment director, and I'm like, I took someone's luggage. I don't know whose luggage. I'm looking through, like, the guy had nice clothes, but he has all of his flip-flop, and I have all my medication. I have everything. Now I have like essentially one bag, my carry-on bag with my computer. I have nothing. I have no toothpaste. So then the lady's helping me out. So she's taking me down to get like fitted with the staff. So now I'm like, oh, well, can I at least wear the chef outfit? They're like, no. And they're like, all they have was like 39, 40 pants. So they don't have socks, no underwear. I'm like, fuck. And so now I got no Adderall. I take Adderall during the day. That's gone for 4 days. I have no Celexa, which is for my OCD. That's gone. And no Ambien. I take Ambien to sleep. Nothing, right? And not to mention, my kid is sick. Me and my daughter have been hanging out every single day for the past week. Disneyland, you know, Universal. She has a stomach flu. Now I start getting a stomach flu, right? So now I'm like, fuck, I got to do these shows. So every night I'm freezing. I'm going from freezing to sweating. getting up every 15 minutes, having dreams about my stepmom. I had a dream that I became a cop. And then I'd like wake up like, oh, fuck, at least the day's going to start. I got 4 minutes of sleep. Normally, Tucker Carlson puts me to bed. Like, Tucker and the interview, that did nothing for me, right? So now I got to do the shows. So now before the shows, I'm like, I got no sleep. I'm sweating. I'm like, all right, I'll go for a long-ass run. At least that'll tire me out. So I go for a run, but I don't have socks. So now I'm running in high tops with no socks.
High tops, oh my God.
My feet are just blistered up. Like, just the entire foot is a, not even on like the toe or the end. The whole foot is a fucking blister, Bill. So then I finally, so now I got to do the kid shows. I got to do 2 30-minute, I got to do 6 shows on no sleep and no medication, nothing. And I'm sick. And my kid is sick. So I don't even know if I'm sick because I'm having withdrawals from all the medication or I'm just sick. I think it's a combination. And I'm on a boat for 3 days. Like, I'm stuck in a fucking box with no internet, yeah. No Wi-Fi, you know, they gave me toothpaste. They gave me deodorant. I spent $175 at the gift store. Dude, it was brutal. It was fucking brutal, man.
How the shows go? Were the shows okay though?
I think I had the best shows of my life. People of came course. Up to me and they're like, "Bro, that was the funniest shit." Like, you know, one guy's like, "I saw Chris Rock. I saw fucking this guy lately. I saw Chappelle. I saw Kevin Hart. You made me laugh more than all of them." Like, I'm like, "Bro, if you only knew." Like, I'm on stage holding in diarrhea while thinking I'm gonna vomit. Like, I'm being heckled by 3-year-olds. You know, like four-year-olds are like just yelling shit out, whatever they want. Well, kid, every time I tell a joke about like what I do, this little 3-year-old's like, "My daddy did this. My daddy did that." I'm like, "Your dad's in jail. Your dad is in jail. He's locked up." And so now I'm holding in shit. And like right after I got off stage, I go right. So then there's one, like, there's a black dude wearing a pimp outfit, right? Like pink hat. So I start making fun of him. Like, I just start, he's outside. I'm like, "Oh, even the pimp can't get in." And then like girls are walking to the bathroom. I'm like, "Oh, you're going to go work for the pimp. These are your hoes." For 15 minutes, people are dying. At the end of the stage, I go, "Everyone, good night." He's the cruise director. So fucking, he comes to the stage and takes the microphone. He's like, "I actually am his pimp." It was luckily this like black dude that was really funny. He's like,
"Yeah, like, yeah, it's his humor."
Dude, then like, all right, then like the last night I go, they have like a show where they have like the passengers have fake orgasms and or fake orgasm contest, and like girls dress up in like it's like a scavenger hunt, but like in the comedy, it's very adult themed. Like,
yeah.
I was there. The girl had a contest. Who could have the best fake orgasm? She whipped out a vibrator and started using it on herself. One chick was like, oh yeah. Her daughter was there who was like 22. And she's like, "Yeah, right. Stick it in my ass." Like, she's yelling that in front of her daughter was mortified, right? Rightfully so. So anyway, I go to that last night. I'm like, "All right, I'm just going to watch this." And of course, this waiter from the Philippines is walking past me with like a blue drink. And I have one pair of jeans I'm wearing for 4 days, right? They did my laundry. Of course, he spills it. He trips and I'm covered with. And then I'm like, and then he goes, "Oh, that's okay. It's okay. I'll make the guy a new drink." Like if it was my fault. Like,
don't worry. You don't have to pay for it, Adam.
Dude, that was hard. So now I'm like, now I'm back and I'm wondering if I should stay off all my meds. You know, like, I'm like,
well, maybe I mean, honestly, dude, it's, hey, look, if everything happens for a reason, maybe the universe is like, you can do it without the meds. I mean, I go back and forth between like Ambien and Adderall and all that shit too.
I mean, the Celexa I take for OCD, like, I literally used to have, it's gotten so much better over the years. I read a book called Stop Intrusive Thoughts, which was a game changer. But it used to be of the point where I would drive my house, think I hit somebody. No, I didn't. But what if I did? But I didn't. But maybe I did. Maybe. And I would circle the block looking for people that I didn't hit. Yeah. for like hours. I mean, like I would leave my house and go, oh, I didn't lock my door. I locked my door. No, there's no fucking way I locked. My door was locked. I locked it. But what if I didn't and someone fucking kills my family? And you make up this whole, so now wherever I'm at, I have to leave to go to a locked door. I mean, that shit. So the Celexa, which is 10 milligrams, which is like, I'm on the lowest doses you could take.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fuck around with that because I get into these fixating things that like, you know, my mother has schizophrenia. Like she's in a mental hospital. I haven't seen her since I was three. And my other family members that are very close to me also have those kind of diseases. So I'm not going to fuck around, but the Adderall, it's like, look, I mean, I don't know if it's as needed. You know, I kept getting into car accidents and I had a therapist recommend it to me because she was like, you need help driving. You're not paying attention, but I probably could just pay attention. Anyway. So yesterday, funny story. So I go to the luggage claim and I'm like, because I had to return the person's luggage. Right. So so I get to Houston, we get to Honduras. I get on a boat to get off the boat. Like you have to get on a smaller boat to get on the boat. And then I'm waiting and it's 195 degrees. And then we go to Honduras. So we drive, whatever. I fly to Houston. I'm like, fuck, I got to return this person's bag. Oh, American Airlines, I'm in E. You have to go to A. So I got to take like six subways to fucking A to find the person, to explain to the person that like, having to explain that I grabbed someone's luggage, but I'm flying back United. Yeah, but you were an American. I know, because I work on a cruise and they flew me. No, you have to go United. No, this person.
Oh my God.
So finally I'm like, look, I have my luggage. Oh, you have your luggage? Oh, thank you. That was so nice of you. Just get me the fuck out of here, right? I know you guys are thinking, Adam, how do you have so much energy? You just go, 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 go. I'll tell you, our next partner is AG1, which is the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I drink it literally every day. Now, I gave AG1 a try because I was feeling run down. I'm like, ugh, can't do this with the kid and the wife and the career and just nonstop. Go, go, go. But I'm telling you, I am feeling so great. I got a boost in energy. I feel better. My support system in my body, it tastes great and I feel great. And I drink AG1 in the morning before working out, doing my fight camp. And it makes me feel unstoppable, ready to take on the whole day. Come on, day. Bring it. Bring it, people. Okay. So I support this. I'm all for it. Okay. A lot of our athletes drink AG1. Okay. And because I know it's important for these fighters to take care of their bodies, not including Kelvin Gastelum. I'm kidding. Kelvin does it too. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/MMA roasted. That's drinkag1.com/MMA roasted. Check it out. So then I finally what was I talking about?
Did the other person take your luggage? Did the other guy take your luggage?
No. This person's not a moron doing an audition and this person paying attention. So then I'm at the luggage claim and there's this like these two little like teenagers that are like doing like TikTok dances. Not really, but like, these are like, you know, like cute little 10-year-olds. So they were having trouble with getting their luggage out, you know, like out of the carousel. So I'm like, you know, Mr. Hero guy. I'm like, I got it. So I go and I lift the luggage and then somebody goes, thank you. Right. I go, no, no, no problem. I look up, it's Ted Cruz.
Oh, wow.
I was like, huh? And I was like, it took me a second, but then people were like, hey, can I get a picture of you? And then he's like, yeah. So I'm like, I'm like, well, first of all, I do like 1,000 Ted Cruz jokes. About like, I do a whole bit about how this guy offered me a blowjob. Like basically the first time I did cocaine, this guy was like, hey man, want to do some cocaine? I'm like, okay. I'm like, let me do a couple of lines. He's like, hey buddy, I really want to suck your dick. And I was like, this is a true story. And I was like, thank you. And then he goes, I'm into women. He goes, no problem. He makes a phone call and this hot girl shows up and she's like, how about she blows you while I do you from behind? And I'm like, thank you, but I'm into women. And then plus there are too many men in the story, right? And then he goes, okay. I go, yeah, that was the last time I hung out with Ted Cruz, right? So that was like, so I've used Ted Cruz for that punchline like fucking 9,000 times. But a part of me was like, hey, I have a joke about you, but I didn't know, because he might be like, well, what's the joke? And then it's not the joke that he wanted to hear, you know?
Yeah.
But I happen to like Ted Cruz in like some ways. I mean, you know, but I asked him, I'm like, are you going to run again for president? He's like, not this time. And he goes, probably next time. I go, who do you think's going to win? And he looked at me. He's like, it's a mess. So that was our exchange. But he seemed like a nice guy. Obviously, he was coming back from Honduras, another vacation.
Yeah. Why was there a big hurricane in Texas again? He had to flee.
Yeah. Another pandemic or something showed up. Yeah, though.
Sean, a brief summary. I took the wrong luggage on a cruise ship, like I texted you. For 5 days, I had no Adderall, no Ambien, no Celexa, and I was sick with the flu. Every night was like sweating and shivering, sweating 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off. I my vision was like, I was seeing like blurry. I didn't know, my head was all fucked up. I didn't know where I was. I went for a run thinking that would help me get some sleep, but I had no socks. My foot were all blistered up. It was just
one of a run on a cruise ship.
I'm like a treadmill.
You could have gone for a swim.
I did. No, but yeah, and dude, that pool, it's like basically like it's a hot tub with like 800 people, and then I go up there, they go, that's the funny guy, right? So so then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to the hot tub. I get so because I'm like six shows pulling this shit off. I go up to the hot tub. There's like six girls in one hot tub, and then a couple like gay dudes and like women that they're with in the other one. But I'm like, man, I don't want to be the guy who like gets reported on. Like, yeah, you're a comedian, because the girls were like early 20s. You're a comedian, just joined our. I went in the other one to play it safe, you know, like, because I don't even know if I'm even allowed in these guest areas kind of thing. So I'm just, I went in the other hot tub fucking with the gay people. So.
And that's the last time you hung out with Ted Cruz.
You know, plus my wife, I don't even want to hurt her to go, who are you in a hot tub with? I'm like, nobody. And then she knows exactly what I'm the worst fucking liar. I'm the worst liar in the world.
The question is, what would be more disappointing to her, if you were in the hot tub with 21-year-old girls or with gay guys by choice? Like, which one's going to be more concerned?
Pretty much, dude. There was this one guy, gay dude on the cruise that was like, so he's like my friend. He's like, man, you need to relax. I'm like, dude, you're not kidding. And he goes, I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah. What better way to relax?
But Sean, I kept thinking that your story was worse, like as fucking what was that you were telling me in Germany?
I was up for 126 hours straight. It was a disaster, man. The doctor, I went over there for that medical procedure, he hit a nerve or hit something. It was brutal, man. I felt like there was a blowtorch on my back, and then it had to be my fault, because since he's a world famous doctor, he's beyond making a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't have possibly made a mistake. And I ran out of pain medicine. It was hell. It was hell on earth for 5 days, man. Worst experience of my life. Other than that night I told you about, that concert the other night, that 6 hour stretch was probably worse than the rest.
What concert is this?
Oh God. I went to a Post Malone concert, but I bought counterfeit tickets. And then a tsunami came as they were throwing us out of the event with my $900 counterfeit tickets. And there was nowhere to go. It was a nightmare, man. Like, he came in. It took me 30 minutes to describe to Adam on one of the shows last week.
You were showing me videos. I believed you, but when you see the video, people were like, cars were underwater. It was crazy.
Yeah, I saved a crackhead, and then he wrecked his car, like, as I pushed him off the road. Like, it was the 10 of the craziest things. An Iraqi Uber driver got into it with a bunch of guys. I was going to pull a gun on him. It was everything, like 10 things that will only happen to you once in your life, all in a 3-hour span. Like it was crazy, man. It was unlike anything I've ever experienced. So
meanwhile, by the way, this is the fourth movie in a row that I've cried while I never watch movies. On these airplanes, I don't know what it is. Creed 1, Creed 2, Creed 3. I cried now watching Top Gun. Like, the new Top Gun made me cry. And yeah. I tell my wife, have you seen it?
Yeah.
My wife's like, why were you crying during Top Gun? I'm like, well, you don't understand. There was a part where Goose was, his kid was playing the piano and Tom Cruise was watching him and he was sitting on it and the Great Balls of Fire. I don't know. I think when you become a dad, anything like dad, sad dad, like someone loses a dad, someone loses a kid,
yeah,
in a movie automatically like fucking touches me, you, in a way where you're just like,
Oh my.
So dude, this new one, I cried, which I knew what was going to happen. The George Foreman movie. Have you seen this George Foreman movie?
Oh, Big Bad George Foreman.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, I want to.
Dude, it's great. Other than Forrest Whitaker being the trainer with one eye for some reason, like, you would probably think like maybe he wouldn't be the best guy, but he's great, dude. So George Foreman, if you don't know the story, he's getting all kinds of trouble. He joins the Jobs Corps, which I didn't even know was a thing. Job where you basically, it's like the military, but for jobs, you know? And so he goes there and he's beating people up. Someone steals his shoes, right? Which his mom gave him the shoes. So he goes and catches the guy and he punches the door and hangs out the window and then doesn't kill him. And then Forrest Whitaker's in the car and he's like, you know, I'm going to kick you out, but have you ever tried boxing before? George Foreman's like, no, you know, I can fight. So he goes and he gets the shit beaten out of him. He never boxed before. He's the most unathletic person in the world. Within like 3 months, right, he's knocking out the guy that beat him. And the guy made the Olympics, and he won the Olympics with less than 1 year of training in boxing.
Wow.
Because the guy tells him, it's going to take you 6 years to even think about the Olympics. He's like, no, I want to do it now. Within 1 year, he knocked out the Russian, who was like 350-2, and was like, they said, this is the biggest mismatch in the history of boxing. History of the Olympics. And George Foreman knocks him out. I mean, can you ever think of one person that could win an Olympic sport in 1 year? In fucking 1 year?
Well,
go ahead.
Female sports, you had that. They had that black ice skater, speed skater,
and in she 1 year. Skating,
I think it was like 6 months, and she won the Olympics. But then again, she's black, so let's be honest. Who's she competing right against?
Yeah, like, dude, and then Sean. Of course, I guess he didn't see Rocky, right? Because he lets his friend, his roommate in the Jobs Corps, is like an alcoholic. You don't even know if the guy's like 18 or 50. He plays the same part.
Are the Jobs Corps, do they go to war against unemployment? Like, who do they fight? I'm so confused. Like, the employment rates are through the roof right now. You got to call up some soldiers. Yeah. Like, what are they?
They fight capitalism.
Right.
Of course, the guy's his roommate in the Jobs Corps. So he lets him have all the money. He goes, I'm only going to give you my money, but you got to clean up your act. And then the guy goes, okay. So the guy takes his drink and like throws it down. Now he's in charge of Foreman's finances, right?
Right.
So I guess he didn't see Rocky, because we know how this would have happened with Uncle Paulie. But I guess I did the math. I'm like, in 1985, I think Rocky was all the way up to Rocky 2. So he hadn't lost his money. Maybe if we would have seen Rocky, he would have known that, you know, by the age of 40, George Foreman's broke. The guy put all his money in stocks. And, you know, like, why wouldn't you go to anybody with an accounting degree, not some guy you met in the Jobs Corps?
Right. Yeah, a guy who's as broke as you is going to manage your money. That's probably a good idea.
Oh, but the guy knew he was going to be good, because after he loses his first fight, he's so mad, he punches the heavy bag off. Like, he's like, damn it! The heavy bag goes flying like fucking 5 miles. And everyone's like, So, yeah, so that was crazy. So then, of course, but he's an asshole at the beginning. He's cheating on his wife. He's I didn't realize that, because I only know the happy George Foreman, you know, like the George Foreman grill. I didn't know the one that fought Ali, the one that beat Frazier. He was like cheating on everybody. He was a complete asshole. And then he died, came back to life, had an out of body Jesus experience. Then he gave it all up to become a preacher. And then of course, once the guy takes all his money and loses it, because he started this like youth club, and that's how they have $1,000 left. He's like, fuck it, I'm going back into training. He's like, I gotta do it. And then he's 340 pounds at the time, or 315. His trainer's like, if you get down to 260, I'll train you. He's carrying like a fucking like bison, like he's carrying like his training things. And those were actual real pictures. Like he's fucking carrying animals. Like it was crazy. It was.
Sure that's the George Foreman story and not the Brendan Schaub story? Because it sounds to me like he's cheating on his wife. He's getting knocked out. He's getting opportunities he doesn't deserve. He's. Except Rogan's carrying him. He's not carrying animals. Rogan's carrying him. So.
Ooh, shots fired. Story to him.
Dude, but yeah, bro, I'm telling you, Sean, if you I think you would like this movie. I mean,
I thought it was a documentary when you were first talking about it, but it's
it's based like on, legit acting.
Based on true life.
Who plays George Foreman? Do you know? Just an unknown guy?
I don't know who the guy is. The guy who plays Ali, I'm not even sure that guy's black, but he does, but he somehow pulls it off. Like,
to Mike Perry play him?
But it's good. I mean, it's and then when he actually wins, like no one ever gives him a chance to win. You know, like no one ever. And then he knocks out Michael Moore, but it was hilarious. It was great. It was.
I was watching that fight with my dad when that happened, man. I think he was 46 at the time, wasn't he? Like
45. 45.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. That was. I remember when he made his comeback. I remember he had five sons all named George, and I was like, man, you must really like your name if you name all five of your sons the same thing. But I was rooting for him the whole way, man. Like I really, my dad. That's what me and my dad. The only sport my dad would watch was UFC and boxing. He thought all their sports were rigged. Like he thought the NBA was rigged. Like he thought they could miss every shot they wanted to make, every shot they wanted to make, and the. Anytime there's a fight, he said, yeah, they'll be jumping off the rim before long and dropping elbows like pro wrestling. So he thought every other sport was rigged. And football was strictly to try to put someone in a wheelchair. That's what he said. That's the only goal of that sport, to put people in wheelchairs. I was like, I don't think that's really what they're going for, Dad. And so he let me play 1 year. My whole life I wanted to play football. He let me play in fourth grade. And God forbid I made the mistake of saying that I had pulled a hamstring during the game because I recovered a fumble and a bunch of guys piled on me. And afterward, my mom said, you okay? I said, oh, just my leg is a little bit sore. He's like, I don't want to hear any of that baby shit. You're the one that wants to be in a wheelchair, like, or whatever. You're the one determined to get in a wheelchair. So that's why I paid him back by fighting later on in life. I told him, you didn't let me play football. So now I'll show you what dangerous really is, Dad. So
Yeah. No, my dad told me to, like, go off all the medication. And I'm like, Dad, you know, it's hard to take somebody who, like, he's trying to convince me that a great diet was, like, three milkshakes a day from, like, Fat Burger. Like three cheeseburgers.
I've tried that diet. It doesn't work.
Like a ton of weed, like no working out. I'm like, it's hard to take health advice from you, Dad.
I think that's the diet that George Foreman was on when he got to 340.
Yeah.
Probably how he got to 340.
Dude, the guy who played Ali was pretty funny because when he became Christian, he went to Ali's house and he's like, I just want to say that he's like, I'm sorry. And then Ali's like, I'm the one who whipped your ass. All right, the fights last week. Justin Gaethje versus Poirier. Man, that was a good fight. Look, I just think with those two guys, they can fight 100 times, it'll be 50-50. Like, I just think they're so evenly matched. Also, everyone's talking about Justin Gaethje, but was it me or was that fight even or even had Poirier winning before the kick? It wasn't like he had this like dominant performance. He landed a great kick and won the fight, and it was amazing. But if he doesn't land that kick,
yeah,
I'm not sure he even wins that fight. That being said, it was entertaining. It was great. I just think they're so evenly matched, those guys. Sean, what are your thoughts on that fight?
Now that it's summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for sunny, active days. I know I am. Okay, and Factor, which is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Now, number two, number one, it can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track reaching your goals, okay? Are you too busy with summer plans to cook? I am. It takes me forever to cook, and I ruin the meals. But I want to make sure that I'm eating well, and so should you. Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping and the prepping and the cleaning, okay? While still getting the flavor and the nutritional quality you need. The Factor is fresh, never frozen. Ew. Their meals are ready in just 2 minutes. That's right, 2 minutes. Although when I do stuff in 2 minutes, my wife complains, okay? But not with Factor. All you got to do is heat and enjoy and then get back outside and soak up this warm weather. Vitamin D, all right? Looking for calorie-conscious options this summer? You can try the delicious, dietitian-approved calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. That's nothing. That's, you burn that off, I don't know, jogging, all right? You need an extra boost to support your wellness goals this summer? I do. We'll try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein. Hell yeah. Get rough. Look at these guns, people, all right? So check it out. Check out Factor. Head to factormeals.com/roasted50 and use code roasted50 and get 50% off your first box. That's half off your first box. That's code roasted50 at factormeals.com/roasted50 to get 50% off your first box. All right. Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I got this cute dog. She's teething right now, but she's adorable. All right. No more biting. You got to get some chew toys. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day and check out Factor right now.
Yeah, man. It was funny. I like Poirier, but I heard him say afterward, he said, I'm the better fighter. And Gaethje knows I'm the better fighter. And I was like, I don't know that he does. Like, if I just knock someone out in the second round with a punch and a kick right behind it like that. But Gaethje, man, he should be the highest paid fighter in the UFC, man. I have not seen a fight where that guy isn't like the most entertaining fight-wise anyway. He doesn't do any antics or anything. But what's scary is now he's fighting with skill and not as reckless. And I think that's throwing his opponents off even more because, you know, they're expecting him to come out with those wild leg kicks and just throwing it, you know, 100% on everything. And I think, I don't know what Poirier said about it, but I think that threw him off that he wasn't being reckless, you know, and was actually fighting with, you know, it seemed like more under control. But I think he would be best mixing it up, going, you know, 10 seconds crazy and then back to, you know, normal, keep people guessing. But yeah, he's the most, I've always said, that is the worst guy to follow in a UFC. Like, if they're going to have him fight, he needs to be the main event because it doesn't matter who's fighting after. It's going to be a letdown, man. I hope he has brain cells left by the time he's done, man. I'll tell you what, because he takes some shots, man. He'll take three to give you one, but man, he's entertaining as hell. That punch, that kick behind that punch was amazing. I've never even seen that landed before. That was right behind the right hand was that kick, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's also weird. Like, he actually, Poirier had the block. Right. I've never seen someone have the proper block up, but it just got right behind it. Because this is like, I mean, you know, they always say that you knock someone out here, this hinge, and then here, you know. But like, you knock someone out from the back too, I guess. It's rare that I see that type of KO, you know.
Yeah, people are trying to say that it shouldn't count because it was behind the head. I'm like, you guys are idiots. Like, I mean, come on.
What?
That's part of it. What's amazing is it was such a hard kick that Poirier did block most of it, and it still knocked him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if he'd caught that flush, that could have probably broken bones in his face, man. Getting hit in the back of the head, but that wasn't even like it was an intentional strike to the back
right.
of the head. You know,
of course.
Yeah. Call
that in. Alex Pereira, that was a good fight. Now, Jan Blachowicz didn't know that he was fighting in Utah. Did anyone not tell him the elevation was going to be a factor? Because he was gassed, and he's never gassed. And then also, you know, it was one of those things, that fight was pretty close, but Jan looked physically defeated. And it's like my dad used to always tell me, like, after you get off stage, no matter how bad you bomb, act like you had a good set. Because people might not know that you think you had a bad set, but if you tell them you had a bad set – Sean, how much do you think somebody celebrating afterwards versus the other guy actually sways the judging?
I think it would only matter at the very last round if you're iffy on who won the round, if one guy jumps up and looks fresh, you know what I mean, or whatever, and runs back, and another guy looks defeated. I'll tell you what, man, that fight in elevation, if anything, Cain Velasquez, I actually talked to Bob Cook one time. I asked him if he'd ever seen Cain Velasquez tired. This was before he fought Verdum in Mexico City, and he said never. He said, we'll put in new guys, five guys. He'll go 15 rounds, three rounds with each, fresh dudes, and he said he's still the freshest guy after 15 rounds, but you saw what happened to him when he didn't go down to adjust to that elevation. I fought in, where was it? El Paso, Texas, I think, is somewhere. The elevation was like, I think, 4,000 feet, so it wasn't about the same as, you know, Salt Lake City. I don't know why they have heavyweights or even light heavyweights when they fight at those elevations, man. It feels like you're drowning. Like, it really does. It feels like you got water in your lungs, or like you're fighting with pneumonia or something. Like, you can't. It's like fighting in a sauna, like when you're a big dude anyway, man. Like, you feel like you can't get any oxygen in, which obviously there's less oxygen. But, I'm not a fan of fights at elevation, certainly not in Mexico City or Denver. And even I think it's pushing it even in Salt Lake City for bigger dudes, you know?
So,
yeah.
Bill, what do you think?
Well, I was worried about that because our fighters who train in elevation like year round, like in Denver or Salt Lake City, do they have a statistically better record than people who don't? Because you think the Broncos would just be destroying everyone in their path, but they're, you know.
Right. Yeah, I know the Denver Nuggets, they used to, because they lived out there, they used to run, their coach had them run a fast break style offense because NBA teams would come out there and they weren't used to the elevation. And then by the third quarter, they were gassed, you know. But they're in such good shape, I guess it probably, and you're just running. But that elevation is no joke, man. It's they said, I think that you need at least 2 weeks to get used to it. Fabricio Verdum was smart when he fought Cain Velasquez. He went and trained at like 9,000 feet elevation. Or 10,000.
Yeah. Somebody's gonna go to the moon. Somebody's gonna be like, "Fuck it, I'm on the moon."
Basically, training elevation is doing what EPO does. It just increases your red blood cell count, you know. So you can do the same thing with EPO if you have the balls to take it and can get away with it. But it's the same difference. It just makes your blood thicker.
You said for yourself that was the greatest thing you ever took as far as training, right?
Not EPO. No, I was always afraid of it. I took HGH was great. I was always I had a guy who will remain nameless. His name rhymes with Mitrione, but he was telling me how great EPO was, or whatever. And he also told me one time to take a fat burner that he gave me. And it made me I started feeling sick after I took it. Did I tell you this story?
Mm-hmm.
I started feeling sick. And then so I started a fever. So I tried it again the next day before I worked out, got a fever. I was like, I got a fight coming a couple weeks. I can't be getting sick. But I thought, let me just see if I'm having a reaction to this fat burner he gave me. Let me see what it is. Because it looked like it came from GNC, you know, in the package. And then when I typed it in, it was like, if your horse begins to struggle breathing, cut the dose in half. And I was like, your horse? And I'm like, wait, so he gave me horse asthma medicine. As a fat burner.
Was it recommended by Joe Rogan?
It was horse asthma medicine. I told Matt, do you know you can die taking that? That's one of the side effects is possible sudden death. He goes, I don't know, I've never taken it. And I was like, you never take it and you gave it to me? Just like, hey man, he said Bill Romanowski said it was amazing. Like, because he used to play football, Bill Romanowski. Yeah,
didn't he die of steroids?
He will if he hasn't yet, he will, I'm sure, at some point. But yeah.
By the way, I rewatched you had a gif up, Sean, of you taking down Stefan Struve. With a blast double. Beautiful blast double you hit on him.
Yeah, that was Tom Erickson, man. That's what he had me work on nonstop when he wasn't absolutely manhandling me like a gorilla. But he had me practice backing up to get him coming forward and then shooting that double, man.
So, Bill, there's this guy, Tom Erickson, who's like a legend, like as the toughest guy. He's like basically someone that Don Fry looks up to. And Don Fry's this guy's fucking tough. Right? Like he's the most underrated, underappreciated. Like he just had some bad matchups. But I mean, he knocked out, you know, Kevin. He knocked out
Kevin Randall, man. Yeah, almost killed him. And they were best friends.
Oh, Randall.
Yeah, Kevin Randall, man. I mean, the guy was a monster way before.
Was he a pride fighter?
Yeah, it was a pride fighter. Yeah, D1.
He actually never trained a day of MMA in his life. He just was. He was one of the top heavyweight or super heavyweight wrestlers for 16 years straight, from the time he was 22 till he was 38. Like he was like Olympic level wrestler.
So Sean, he's McCorkle's coach. McCorkle walks into a gym with Matt Mitrione. These two huge fucking cocky, good looking, arrogant fucking UFC heavyweights, and there's fucking old school Erickson goes, I bet I could beat you guys both up at the same time. And does it. Like, he fucking tosses these fucking guys around. One's the NFL. One guy played for the NFL. The other guy was a college basketball star turned fighter. And he's throwing them. And he must have been like 40, right?
No, he was 46. And he was, dude, he told me he weighed about 290. Dude, he was about 390, like 6'3", 390. And he was, he had just finished Purdue's wrestling practice. I don't even remember Jake O'Brien. He wrestled at Purdue. He was an All-American wrestler, a three-time school state champion. He said he never took Tom down one time in the 3 years he was at Purdue. He said he just got just manhandled. And so the first time we're ever training up there, Matt Mitrione tells me, he goes, he's trained with him one time before. He goes, dude, you were going to get your manhood taken today. And I was like, great. I don't say anything. I don't say anything but that. I'm like, great, looking forward to it. So we get there and he goes, Tom, he doesn't think you can take him down. That's what Matt says to Tom Erickson, who's 6'5", 380 with probably 12% body fat. You know what I mean? Or whatever, at 46. One of the best wrestlers ever, an MMA fighter, former MMA fighter, who's beat, I mean, he's, Fedor wouldn't fight him. Fedor turned down the fight with him like 10 times, you know?
Whoa.
And so I said, Tom, I didn't say that. I said, I promise I didn't say that. He goes, oh, we'll see. And Jake O'Brien had told me, he said, do not get double underhooks on him. Don't ever get double underhooks. And I remembered him saying that, but it slipped my mind. You usually want double unders. So the first time we exchange, I get double unders. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take down a wrestler, like an Olympic level wrestler. My first time, you know, and I wasn't a very good wrestler. He just overhooked my arms and suplexes me, like literally and suplexes
me, shit.
Like a full suplex. I was 315 pounds at the time, like on every steroid known to man, and suplexed me. And I was like, okay, I knocked the wind out of me. I was just laying there, and then then he beats up Matt for a while, and then like he said, yeah, I can't take you down. And I was like, dude, I never said that. Like I never he had never met me. He didn't, but he believed it. Yeah,
he reminds like, me of like he reminds me of like the wrench guy in Dodgeball. Like was it Rip Thorne's character? Like, if you could dodge a wrench, you
can. Right. Yeah. He dislocated before I fought Marius Pujanowski, the world's strongest man. I always called him the world's second strongest man because he hadn't wrestled with Tom Erickson. But we were warming up 2 days before, and he dislocated my rib from my spine. Like it actually, it's called rib subluxation. He actually pulled a rib from a joint of my spine. I had to go to the emergency room 2 days before I fight Pujanowski over there. I was like, thanks, man.
Did he feel bad about it or no?
Yeah, he kept saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Like, he picked me up by my face. He cross-faced me one time in a guillotine and didn't have it around my neck and just picked me up by my face instead of my neck.
I don't understand, Bill. If you know McCorkle, he's sitting down. McCorkle is what, 6'7"?
You're a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, at the time I was 6'7", like probably 315, and I was bench pressing 500 pounds. Like, that's how strong I was.
It was
Eric's like wrestling with your dad when you were a little kid. Like,
Eric's is one of those guys that, like you just hear legendary. It's like kind of like almost like Bo Jackson. They're like, oh, yeah, Bo Jackson killed a bear with a rock. And, like, Bo Jackson, like, could dunk basketball at age 6, but it was all kind of true. Right. Everything was true.
Everything was kind of true, yeah.
Erickson. So, all right. Derek Lewis. Sean, we're so bad at picking picks.
I would have bet if I could get on DraftKings, I would have put $2,000 against Derek Lewis the night. I absolutely would have. Like, I thought he was done. Like, his last fights have been so bad, and he comes out with that crazy.
I mean, McCorkle says, I'd bet the house on the other guy, right?
Yeah. I said, no chance. I said, Derek Lewis is done. I've seen guys.
I mean, but if he doesn't before. If he doesn't land the flying knee.
Right. Who knows?
How many flying knees has Derek Lewis ever landed?
I think that's the first one he ever threw. Like, that's the first. They asked him after if that's part of the strategy. He goes, no, that was just some bullshit. That's like, that was his
response. He goes, I'm just going to throw some bullshit at him and see what happens. I mean,
I think he sold his soul to the devil. Some of the stuff that he pulls off in fights, man, I'll tell you what, like it's like, it always works out for him. That one time he was going to shit his pants. So he throws a right hand, like, while holding his stomach, because he's trying not to shit his pants, and knocks a guy out. It's just like, just crazy, man.
But it's so frustrating though, because he's going to lose his next 6 fights. But right, everyone's going to remember this flying knee. And so it's like, people are saying he should go to the PFL and fight Ngannou. Do they not know that was the worst fight in the history of fights?
Like, dude, that literally worst fight I've ever seen. Like, they were so bad.
I saw that fight.
I think I missed that one.
They just stare at each other, like, staring.
Oh, I remember that. That's right.
Nobody threw a punch. People, they got booed out of the building. Has there ever been a rematch where the fight was god awful and the rematch was great. Like, no, I can't think of one.
Step in Rocky 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, Rocky 3, it was both so exciting. I mean, even when Clubber beat him up for Clubber. Right. But yeah, I mean, we've seen the opposite, where the first fight was amazing and the second fight was kind of boring. But nobody has ever seen this one where, like, it was
I don't understand guys that get – dude, when I got kneed in the balls and hit in the back of the head repeatedly when I fought my last fight in UFC, I got kneed in the balls. And it didn't hurt that bad because he mostly caught my cut, but I was exhausted, and there was only 40 seconds left in the round. So I was like, I'm going to take, like, an extra time. I'm going to take the full 2 or 3 minutes, whatever they'll give me. And the crowd starts booing me 20 seconds in, like, that I'm not fighting. And I was like, dude, I just got kneed in the balls, you know, and they start booing. So they booed for like 40 seconds. I looked at the ref. I said, start the fight. I'm not going to sit here and get – I wish now I would have flipped off the crowd and, like, for 5 minutes straight and had them, you know, boo me. But I figured the UFC is going to cut me if I sit there and get booed for 5 minutes, you know, either way. So I say start the fight. I get choked out 20 seconds later because I'm still exhausted. But that fight – and Ngannou had just lost his first win ever, so he was gun-shy. I don't know what Derek Lewis was on that night, but he wasn't – I mean, there was probably – you think what, under 20 strikes total thrown that fight?
It was brutal. And whoever's asking for the PFL rematch is crazy. Like, you guys have short-term memory loss. Now, I felt bad for Chiesa. Michael Chiesa's a guy, he was on Ultimate Fighter. Remember, his father died. He won the Ultimate Fighter. He's been there a couple times. He's almost gotten to the top of the heap, but he just got blitzed. And Kevin Holland just killed him. I mean, it was
a Darce choke, right?
Yeah, but he was beating him up beforehand. Chiesa looked like he did not want to be there. He looked scared. He just, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if it's time to hang up, but it that was not even, that might have been his worst performance I've ever seen Chiesa do. And
yeah. I actually didn't get to see that one. The free, I'm not the free link. I was watching locked up. The pay per view I paid for locked up. And, yeah, I locked up during that part, and I couldn't get a good signal
on. Yeah, that one, and then Bobby Green. So what's name was looking pretty good actually. Tony Ferguson. He actually was winning the round. He had a double. He was doing well, and then he got eye poked, and then Bobby Green just killed him. Tony puts on Instagram that it was the eye poke to change the fight, this and that, and he couldn't see. He was seeing double, but I don't know. You know, if this was like a one or two losses, but this is his sixth loss in a row.
Yeah.
And, man, you just – I'm telling you, bring back – they got to bring back Mike Jackson as the Brooklyn Brawler of the UFC.
You know Mike Jackson's fighting Pat Miletich here soon?
Yeah.
Miletich
is
still fighting?
He is. After like a 10-year retirement, yeah, he's doing a – he got a kickboxing match, I think, a couple years ago. But, yeah, he's fighting Mike Jackson. So I would fight Mike Jackson. I can't believe that he beat CM Punk even. Like, I would thought anybody in the world could beat Mike Jackson.
Yeah,
I don't know why the UFC, like you said, man, they don't have to bring in a bum, but give Ferguson, why does he always have to fight a top 15 guy? If you've lost six in a row and you want to give him a newcomer, give him somebody he just got a good chance at, man. Like, why just keep running?
Or give him Diego Sanchez, or at least somebody. Right. Yeah.
Two guys on, like losing streak. Just something. I don't know, man.
So a little backstory, Bill. So Mike Jackson's the guy that thinks everyone's racist. He's the guy that Jake Shields got into a fight.
Jake Shields didn't go at it on Twitter.
Yeah, right. Pat Miletich cornered him for the CM Punk fight. Pat Miletich was at the Capitol rally. I guess took a picture, and some guys were making the OK sign or something. I don't even know. I'm not really that deep into all this, but essentially, Pat Miletich got fired from his LFA job, commenting because of it. And now there's bad blood between him and Mike Jackson. So they're fighting, and the guy who wrote the whole thing about it is like, it's like one of the funniest press releases in the world. Mike Jackson.
The thing I can't wait to see is, I guess if Pat Miletich wins, he's not racist, and he was right. Yeah. If Mike Jackson wins, then he is a racist and shouldn't have been there. Like, I love how I got in an argument with a guy over parking place one time over parking space, and I almost beat him up. And then I thought afterwards, if I beat him up, does that mean I was there first? Does that change history? Yeah. Because we both thought we were there first. So it's like, Mike is right. So does that mean I know I actually was there first because I kicked his ass? So, like, I don't know.
So is Mike Jackson still, is he fighting in a promotion right now?
No, and the Pat Miletich, it's on pay-per-view. fighting for the No, he's not fighting.
He's
for
taking one fight at a time.
By the way, my feeling, Sean, with the Ferguson thing, you know what they always say, power is the last thing to go. And because Ferguson was never a power fighter, it seems like people who are speed fighters like Ferguson, they're the ones who should retire earlier. Because you can be a big, strong guy and stay until you're in your 40s.
Well, yeah, I mean, Derek Lewis is a perfect example. He was about, I think the UFC, that was his last fight. I heard it wasn't because he turned him down, because they weren't going to resign him. They were done with him. They thought he was done, and he still got a wild flying knee. But you're exactly right. That's why you see guys like Roy Jones Jr. struggle trying to fight late in his career, because his reflexes and speed were everything. And once that's gone, if you're not a big puncher, it's nothing left, you know?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're doing rolling, Amari rolls or like whatever it's called, like everything he did was unconventional with Tony Ferguson. So it's only things you can basically only do that if you're super spry, athletic, this and that. So that's also one of the big problems, is that now you could see it's like he's doing all these techniques wrong, but they work for him because of his reflexes and this and that. So now it's like, that happens all the time with fighters, with like guys keep their hands down and chin up, but they get around it because they're young and they're quick and they're agile. And
I wonder how much slower they are.
I wonder how much wearing sunglasses inside all the time had to do with him losing his speed reflexes. Because that dude would wear sunglasses at night on the moon. Like, he was always I don't know what the moon would have to do with it, but he would always he had sunglasses on. That was awesome when he hurt himself tripping over a cable and had to pull out a fight because he was wearing sunglasses inside. Dana White, I don't remember what he said about it, but I remember it was the funniest thing ever. He was like, "Who the hell wears sunglasses inside?" Like, when they're walking around. Equipment, or whatever, but it's like Tony Ferguson does. That's it.
Also, what happened was over the weekend, Terrence Crawford. You watch the boxing match? I told you to watch.
Did I? Yeah. I bought that pay per view also and saw it just in during the walkouts, the Gaethje walkout. I was flipping back and forth between my two pay per views I paid for.
But how good was Terrence Crawford? I mean,
dude. He looked like he was on another level, man. He looked like a whole nother level. Like, it was amazing.
But we're not going to talk about how Errol Spence was in the worst car wreck I've ever seen, one of them. And I know it's a couple fights later, but I don't know if your body ever recovers. Like, his car was, like, it was brutal. And I don't know. No one's talking about that maybe the guy isn't at, 100% or, when that kind of things happen. See if I can find it. But
yeah, it was October 10th, 2019. So it's almost 4 years ago.
Yeah. But I mean, Errol Spence car wreck here. So this was this was the actual car wreck caught on camera. Hold on. Here we go. I'll share the screen. All right. So this was the car wreck.
Jesus.
Golly. I couldn't even tell what happened, but it looked bad, whatever it was.
Okay, so here it is. Different angles.
Man.
I mean, that's got to affect your body, right? I mean.
I like how they've got six angles of his car wreck, but no camera in the White House saw who left the cocaine. It's crazy. And there's no footage of a plane hitting the Pentagon.
I mean, I don't know. I mean. I guess he's recovered now, but I still hold on. Let's see. Six.
Yeah, at least.
I mean, Sean, don't you think that that's going to have some kind of long term effect on your body?
I mean, yeah. If he was drunk, maybe not. It seems like when people. What did he get?
Well, he was drunk.
Was he? That tends to help people. It seems like when they do that. I told you on Christmas Eve I was involved in that rollover car accident. I told you that, right? I flipped my SUV and everything, and went to the woods down a ravine, rolled it and everything. And I just had a guy give me an estimate on painting the hood. And so we're sitting upside down. I didn't have my seatbelt on. My fiance had hers on. She's crying, like, what do we do or whatever? And I was like, I'm like upside down, like just like basically doing a headstand in my car. And I was like, well, I guess we won't get the hood painted after all, huh? Like, literally, that's the first thing I said to her. We're sitting there. And she was like, wait, what? Like, it stopped her from crying. She was so confused why I would say that while we're hanging upside down. you know, or whatever. And then, yeah, I told her to undo her seatbelt. Like I undid it, and then she fell on top of me, like slammed down on top of me and like her foot onto my face. It was a lot of fun, but, yeah, no, I don't know. I didn't have any, I got out, I was completely fine. I mean, my back hurts all the time, but I don't know if that made it any worse. So yeah, it was weird that you get something that bad and not really have any injuries to speak of, you know, I don't know.
Now, yeah. This week, obviously we got the Ariel Helwani. We have the Jake Paul versus, I'm looking at that
right here. Ariel's trying to make it about him, but
yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. So here's what happened in an interview. This interview 2 days ago with Ariel Helwani, Jake Paul, and Nate Diaz. I think that you'll appreciate this, Sean. So here we go.
He's a warrior. He's been, you know, put on some of the greatest fights in the history of the MMA. He has an amazing fan base. Obviously, people love him for a reason. And I know he's coming to bring a war. That's what it says, ready for war. And I think the fans are the ones who get to win the most out of all of this, because we both don't want to lose. We both don't want to back down. And he's just...
All right. Yeah, I'll be right back.
Yeah, I'll be right back. He's a war.
I'll tell you what, man. The Diaz brothers are the most unintentional geniuses I've ever seen in my life. Like, doing that alone, I would never even think of doing that, but that's an awesome move, man. That is that gets more views, I guarantee you, than there's nothing he could have said that would get that many views as just getting up and leaving.
What's the place who's being complimented the whole time, too?
Right, yeah.
I thought this was going to be shit talking. I'm out of here.
No, he's like, I don't have time for this bullshit. Oh, my. Like, that was – and then I guess there was a fight. Did you guys see the fight at the weigh-in? Or at the
– Yeah.
I couldn't see
who started it. I couldn't see. I just saw – it was weird because there wasn't a single black guy on the stage. Like, it was all white people. And then all of a sudden, when there was a fight going on, there were seven black guys fighting each other. And I was where did the black guys all come from? Look, it's all white people, and then watch. When the fight starts, it's all black people.
Poor Rich Chow, nicest guy in the world, that guy right there. So. Everyone's being pretty good now. And then, right.
What the fuck?
See, look, once the dust clears, there's seven black guys and two white guys. I'm like, wait, where did all the brothers come from? Like, they weren't even on stage. Like, what's going on?
I hope Nate wins. I hope he gets $20 million. I hope he wins. It just seems like once you lose to these guys, in the short term, you make a lot of money, you know? But if you look like... Tyron Woodley and Askren, it's hard to get another fighting gig after that.
I'll tell you what, in a perfect world for Nate, he would lose. He would be winning the fight and lose to like a haymaker punch. And then they would do an MMA match where Nate's like, now I'm going to actually kick your ass. And he would make three times the money of this boxing match. But only if he's winning and dominating the match. If he goes out and gets knocked out, everybody's going to be like, oh, he's done.
But Jake won't do it, but I don't think Nate would do it. I don't think Jake Paul would. Jake Paul seems to only want to fight when it's like, perfect case. But and then
what's the weight difference between them?
They both went in at 185.
Okay.
I think Nate walks around about 190, 185 to 190, and Jake's got to be walking around 215. So he's probably 25 pounds heavier than him walking around, I would guess. So yeah, because Nate makes 155, which means he's not getting much heavier than 190, even at his heaviest, you know. So
yeah,
if he's doing it, so yeah, that yeah. But Jake, I think Jake's obviously on steroids too, so that helps quite a bit too, you know. It I love when people act like steroids don't matter. Like, trust me, they make a huge difference. They're awesome. Yeah. So yeah, it's a it's a wonderful thing. So
Meanwhile,
Jake is on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Remember, like back in the day.
like being on the cover of Sports Illustrated was like Michael Jordan.
That's like being on the box of Wheaties or something. Like it was really a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Dave Winfield, somebody had to do something great to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you know?
Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. That's right. And there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it, okay? If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now, bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You got to be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. And bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gamblinghelplinema.org. Or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now, right now. You want to bet? That's where you go.
Yeah.
Now Jake Paul, and it's like, hey, and they tried to like make it seem like it was let me see. Like they tried to cover for themselves a little bit. Let me see. Jake Paul, SI. It was like the social media, you know, the influencer edition. I don't know what it was, but I was like, bro, come on. Like, yeah, really?
Yeah. It's all about money. There's no integrity in magazines anymore. They just want to make money. So they don't give a shit who they put on.
Yeah,
how many people are buying Sports Illustrated?
Nobody, but still, I mean, the fact is like, can you guys see it?
Yeah.
Right there on the, yeah, it's here. The power
water.
Yeah, the power list.
Oh my god!
It's like, come on, he's not even the top 500 boxers in his weight class. Like, yeah, he's not even the top 1,000. There's probably 1,000 people in his weight class that can beat him. I would probably say 5,000. There's probably 5,000 boxers in his weight class that can beat him. Maybe even 10,000. Maybe.
But yeah, it depends on how many. I don't think boxing is as big as it used to be as far as number of people doing it, but I don't think he's like, if he goes to the amateurs, I mean, he might win Golden Globe. He's winning, like, if they're going to amateur Olympic boxers or whatever, the young guys or whatever, he wouldn't, I mean, even have a shot. Like, wouldn't even, like, yeah.
And there's probably 5,000 boxers that can beat him, no? In his weight class. Easily.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, because I don't know how many guys are boxing anymore. That's another thing I wonder. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder how many guys are actually. Somebody asked me one time, we had, like, 6 guys from Indiana make it to the UFC in 2009 or 2010, and somebody's like, how are so many guys making it from here? I'm like, because there's only a few thousand guys nationwide fighting. You know what I mean? Like, that's why now that it's so much bigger, you wouldn't have nearly that many from – I don't even think there is one from Indiana anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's all, you know, California and stuff, but it's – yeah, I don't know how many guys – there's not really youth boxing, I don't think, anymore like there used to be, so I don't know how many I don't know how many guys are boxing anymore. So, but he definitely wouldn't be at the top of the list. There's nothing about him that screams future contender if you see him box, you know?
No, I mean, you know, good for him making all that money. And I'm like, I'm not hating, I'm not jealous. I would like to see him fight people that are actually boxers. And then him making.
I mean, Tommy Fury is known as being a joke and he destroyed him. You know what I mean? So it's like, Tommy Fury's like laughed at as far as being a boxer. So,
right. It's crazy. So this week, tonight, there's actually some good fights tonight and good fights tomorrow. But Tomorrow, we got Corey Sandhagen, who's like a ninja nerd. I mean, he's like the nerdiest guy, polite, just a very like good guy. I was with him when I was with Henry Cejudo, and we were making fun of the people there at people signing autographs. He was doing at the UFC conference, whatever, and he was next to us. Really nice guy. He has a podcast with Mitch Patel, who's like one of my favorite comedians. Yeah, yeah. It's just,
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Beyond random. So he's fighting Rob Font at 140. Font took it short notice because he filled in for somebody. Should be a good fight. Sean, any thoughts on this one?
I mean, I haven't seen either of them fight enough to really know. I know the names, obviously, and I would know them if I saw them. But, yeah, I don't know as far as watching their fight. Some of those little dudes like that, it all kind of becomes the same guy to me. Like, they're all the same. You know, they're all the same guy. Like, who's that guy they just let go? There's a guy that he looked like Johnny Depp when he plays Captain Jack Sparrow. But they Dana said it was a mistake to let him go. He was a free agent. I don't remember. He's a good fighter, but – anyway, all that to say, I get him mixed up with like seven other guys that look just like him.
Was it Jared Brooks?
No. He's not that little. I think he's a 135-pound fighter. He has long hair. I remember Dana specifically said it was a big mistake letting him go. He doesn't know why they didn't re-sign him as a mistake, but I can't remember. But yeah, that was all just to say that there's like seven or eight fighters that I think are him every time they fight. I'm like, wait, is that that guy? And then... yeah, so the little guys I get mixed up.
So Sandhagen's the guy that like threw that flying knee that knocked out Frankie Edgar, and he's got great. He always like throws a lead flying knee and lands it and just drops.
Yeah,
it.
That's his specialty.
He's the guy. Aljamain beat him, but since then he's won a lot of fights. Sandhagen, I'll tell you who he recently beat. He lost to Umar. No, actually he beat Marlon Vera. He beat Song Yadong. He lost to Peter Yan. He lost to Dillashaw. He beat Edgar. He beat Marlon Moraes. Lost to Sterling. He beat Asensio. Beat Lineker. I mean, he's beating a lot of guys.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds like he's beat a lot of really good guys.
And then Rob Font, on the other hand, he's coming off a pretty big win against Adrian Yanez. He knocked out Yanez, which was Yanez, what they were calling. Before that, he lost to Marlon Vera. He lost to Jose Aldo. He beat Cody Garbrandt. So this should be a good – this should be a scrapper. This should be a good fight, actually. And then also on the card is Jessica Andrade versus Tatiana Suarez. Tatiana is a girl who was a national champion in wrestling. Then she got cancer, like in high school. Jeez. And then beat cancer. Then she won the Ultimate Fighter. She was undefeated.
How did she beat cancer? What'd she finish it with?
Yeah, she rear naked. she won the Ultimate Fighter. She's undefeated. And then she like tore like both ACLs, like completely fucked up. Yeah. So now she's on her way back. She's got pretty big wins. She's got wins over Montana De La Rosa, her last fight. She beat Amanda Nunez's wife, Nina Nunez. She beat Carla Esparza, like ran through, beat Alexa Grasso. Like she hasn't lost, but she's fighting Jessica Andrade, who's like, you know, a female Vanderlei Silva, who just goes out there and just fucking throws crazy punches, but then has been on a losing streak. Lost to Janan Yan, lost to Erin Blanchfeld, both by submission. She beat Lauren Murphy, beat Cynthia Cavillo. Who do we like in this fight, Bill?
I mean, I like Tatiana just because, you know, She's undefeated. Jessica's kind of like a journeywoman in a way.
Yeah.
She's kind of, you know, I just like the idea of someone being undefeated and just running the boards.
Yes.
And also they had cancer. Come on. What a beautiful story.
I know. Of course. 100%. Sean?
I want to see her lose because I don't like anybody that's a wife beater. So if she beat up her. Beat up, what's her name's wife? So, yeah, I don't know.
Nunez.
Yeah, she's got Nunez's wife.
How do they decide who carries the baby, by the way? Like.
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Probably the same person. I saw a lesbian couple at the airport, and one was, like, really pretty, and one was definitely, like, Butch Dyke, leather jacket, like you know, ladybirds from the fucking 50s or whatever. And the Dyke one, the Butch one was pregnant, and I was like, that had to be Plan B. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't think anyone's they're not getting them. The guy's not fucking them and getting them pregnant. They're
but I don't think the butch one with the comb in the back pocket is the one choosing to be pregnant. That's got to be the second choice.
You don't think that maybe she
the comb in the back pocket.
Maybe. The girl with the tool belt, she's not the one who should be pregnant. Let's be honest.
Really? You don't think maybe she's, I don't know.
She's just carrying around all that extra weight, like on the tool belt. So she's
you don't think she's maybe more up for the task? She's got a fucking tool belt? Like she's the one that could lift more and like do, I don't like with Raquel and Tisha, it was Tisha that like, and
yeah.
I don't know how they decide. I mean, you think it's like who
was the singer back in the day that decided to pick a dad and of everybody they picked? It was like David Crosby or somebody.
Yeah, that was come to my
Melissa Etheridge. Melissa Etheridge?
Melissa Etheridge, yeah. Like, I remember they were like, yeah, they chose dad of all people. They chose, I was going to say Bing Crosby, but he may have been a better choice. I don't know. David Crosby. But.
So also on this card, Dustin Jacoby, who's a K1 kickboxer. I was so annoyed his last fight because he was down 2 rounds to nothing. And then he hurts the guy in the third. Like, he hurts him. There's like a minute left. He goes for a takedown. And I'm like, bro, you hurt him on the feet. You got a minute left. And everyone was screaming at him. Like, his own coaches were like, ugh. So he's fighting Kennedy Nezikdwu. I don't know if I butchered that.
You got to go with the Nigerians.
Really? Why? Yeah.
Nigerians, I mean, look, they're killing it in everything. You know? I mean, how many Nigerians have been
champions? Each other.
I don't think they're killing each other. That's not.
Well, you haven't been to Nigeria.
I don't know when
Nigerian Americans. How about that?
All right. I gotta. I'll just leave it in. Fuck him. All right. So Billy Quarantillo, he's the guy. He lost his last fight. He was just killing it. He beat Frankie Edgar. He beat Anthony. No. He beat.
His last name is Quarantino?
Quarantillo.
No,
he beat Alex Fernandez.
That guy was right at home during the lockdown. He was like, they don't call me Quarantino for nothing.
He lost to Edson Barboza. That was a crazy one because I think they were expecting him to win. And then Damon Jackson. He's fighting Damon Jackson, who goes by The Leech. Damon the Leech Jackson. So
he stole Brendan Schaub's name.
I knew it. I knew that was coming. I almost was looking at you waiting. I'm like, okay. Like,
wait, what's the Brendan Schaub beef? Is there beef between you guys? Or is it just like everyone?
Yeah, it's been going on for about 15 years. So, the whole thing, I'll give you a quick rundown. The whole thing started as Matt Mitrione hits me up. Hey, I'm fighting Schaub. We're going to talk trash to each other. Nothing's off limits. Here's my Twitter password. I was like, cool. So the first thing I put on there is like, is it me or does Brendan Schaub look like if Adam Sandler had a younger brother with Down syndrome? Like, that's my first tweet I put out, right?
Yeah.
So then he says something about Matt's wife cheating on him or something, gets irate about it, like gets really mad because he's a sensitive bitch. And so Matt then throws me under the bus and says, I stole his password. I hacked his account.
Oh, my God.
So then he starts saying stuff. We go back and forth. And then I'm at an audition one time. Actually, Adam showed up later, but Spike TV had agreed to do some kind of basically a Tosh.0 ripoff where you have a comedian and a fighter talk about fight videos. And he comes in and I'm reading with someone else for the audition. And I hear him say, oh, not this dude. And I look up mid audition. I was like, you got something to say with your little Gucci boots, your little gay Gucci boots on or whatever. And then he just looks down and just doesn't say anything, you know, or whatever. So we almost got into it then. And then there's a video out there of Joe Rogan on his podcast saying how funny I am. And Schaub's like, yeah, I heard he's not alive anymore. I think he's dead. Like, he's just always got something to say about me because he can't stand it that he's not funny. So I've been terrorizing him for years on Twitter. Just like when the whole thing started over at Syria, I said that Trump said if they didn't back off, you know, like he was going to send Brendan Schaub to bomb, like on a comedy tour, he was going to bomb their entire country, you know, 10-city tour and just on and on. And so, I was trying to basically just build a following off of him, kind of like Chael did when he went after Anderson Silva, except he's smart enough. That's the only thing he's smart on. He's smart enough not to say anything back to me. So it's like it's just a one-sided me destroying him all the time. So, oh, well.
And I tell Sean, dude, you're beyond hilarious. You're the funniest person I know. Do your own thing. Like, fuck, who cares? Like,
it just turned out that my thing is trashing Brendan Schaub, though. That's that's what I love the most. I always say do what you love.
So Cody Durden, who's a hilarious guy, he's a nice guy. He got a hot wife, by the way, fucking way like hotter than he looks. He's fighting. He was a guy that when he beat the guy from China, he goes, I wanted to send him back to China. And everyone got mad at him. So
would they rather him send him somewhere else? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, what if he was from the Bahamas? I want to send him back to the Bahamas. They'd be like, how dare you, the Bahamas? Yeah.
Right, right. Well, China. Now he's fighting a guy from England. He's talking all kinds of shit to this guy, Jack Hadley from England. So I don't know. And then Kyler Phillips is fighting the Matrix. Kyler Phillips, he's an underrated fighter. The dude, it's actually the whole card is pretty good. Tonight, Bubba Jenkins fights. If he wins one more fight, he gets $1 million. If he wins two more fights, he's got two more fights in the PFL. And then he's got a fight. And then Chris Wade, who beat him, who now Bubba now calls Karen Wade. They could fight in the finals, which would be kind of cool.
They keep him pretty busy, don't they? Seems like he fights a lot, man.
Who's that? Yeah. Bubba?
Bubba? Seems like he fights a lot. Like, I don't, maybe it's just because you mentioned it and I remembered on here, but it seems
because it's that PFL tournament. You know, like, he's been winning. So, I guess Jake Paul's client, I don't know, he was a client, Jamahal Hill, he called Ariel Helwani a snake and a bitch after Helwani's interview with Jiri. So, yeah, so this guy who was a champion, Jamahal Hill, but then he beat Glover, but then they said he didn't defend it. So he called Helwani out for using dirty, sneaky tactics. Allegedly, he wasn't just another dumb fighter. Helwani won't run verbal circles around him, and he did not mince words. He then said, "What did he say about Ariel?" Yeah. He's very mad at Ariel Helwani. He goes, you keep disrespecting me and my name. I'm going to come see about you. Eventually, some point, we're going to be in the same room. He goes, Ariel, what you did, bro. I don't fuck with you at all. You a snake. I think you're really a bitch, bro. You weak and you're pathetic, too. Ariel responded saying, I don't know what this is about. Please come on my podcast and talk about it.
So, yeah.
What is it about? Do you know?
I think the thing I like is that we all have to pretend like his name's not supposed to be Jamahal Hill and his parents just spelled it wrong, like on the birth certificate. Oh. So now we got to call him Jamahal because they spelled it wrong.
It is Jamahal. It's Jamahal.
Yeah. I had a college basketball teammate named Devon, and his name was Devon. That was Devon. he's like, no, man, that's the way they want to spell it. I'm like, I bet it is. That's probably exactly how they meant for it to be. And they spelled it. So. But it's Jamahal Hill. They just threw an extra H in there on accident.
But do we know why he hates Ariel?
Ariel interviewed and they talked about his way. I guess he pulled out of the fight against Jiri. And he said maybe he did it because he was too heavy or something. Or I don't know. It's the whole thing seems very, very strange.
It doesn't take much for Ariel to get on your nerves. Like, he can push it sometimes. I better find out he changed his number. I told you, I've been trying to get a hold of him for like weeks now. And I like to take credit for Ariel's career. When he first went at my first UFC fight, he interviewed Dana White and it got 600 views. And my interview got 50,000. Like, you know what I mean? So I was like the one that kind of broke him as far as anybody knowing who he was. And then he got a little too big for his britches when he got a job with ESPN and thought he could not return my texts and stuff. So I told him one time if he didn't return another one of my texts, I was going to come smack him like at his studio. And then he hit me right back. And then I think he's changed his number now, though, because it just goes to green. Like, iPhones are supposed to be blue if it gets sent through. It just turns green.
Yeah.
So I've had three people tell me he changed his number, but I'm holding it against him anyway. So
Mark Zuckerberg's wife is mad because he built an octagon in his front yard. So, I mean, first of all,
she did pay for it, I'm sure, so I can understand why she
was. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's every right.
What he would be worried about. Yeah, it isn't like he's paying the bills.
So, and then, but also, like, but that Threads thing he started that was going to, like, take down Twitter, it started with 50 million, it's down to 20 million. It lost 30 million in 1 week.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe the guy who started it shouldn't be having octagon fucking fights in his front yard. And it's like all these guys who were like nerds their whole life, always wanted to be jocks. And now they're like, oh, I could be a jock now because I could buy my way into a sport. But it's like, bro, it's like at a certain point, you missed it. You know, you missed it.
They become tech geniuses or cops. It seems like to me, like that's the two things that they tend to be drawn to. Like most cops I know, unfortunately, are guys that were bullied in high school. And that's why they're a dick to people when they pull them over. Not all, but there are a lot of them like that.
Or they were bullied, or they were bullies. In high school.
Yeah, including my cousin that's a cop. He was always a nerd in high school, bullied, and now he's paying everybody back for bullying him all the time. So.
Now, is Mark Zuckerberg, is he really fighting Elon Musk? Is that really happening, or is that just a rumor?
They say it's going to happen.
Dude, I'll bet anyone a million. I'll bet my entire net worth, everything I have, that fight does not happen. Those guys are not.
I agree.
That's the craziest. They might grapple or something, but even then, I don't think there's any chance. If you're Elon Musk, I don't think you can afford to take any shots to the head, man. Like, there's something wrong with his brain to begin with, to be as smart as he is. So he might get brain damage or be as smart as we are, and his whole life would be ruined. So,
yeah. But plus, Zuckerberg wins. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's how. Yeah,
like nobody's gonna be rooting for Zuckerberg in that fight. Like, everyone's going to be rooting for Elon Musk. I mean, I am. I'm rooting for Elon Musk.
Maybe it would be awesome to see the first alien fight the first robot, like in history or whatever. Because I think,
exactly.
I think Zuckerberg, have you seen how they talk about how he drinks water like a robot? Like, there's something they made, I don't know, online. They made a video clip mashup of him drinking water. It's the funniest ever. But he, I don't know the robots drink water, but that was the whole, he just drinks water weird. So.
I love it. There's going to be an autistic boxing league. With these guys.
Right. Yeah. Golly. Yeah. But wouldn't that be amazing if they did fight though? Like if they would, it would sell for sure. Just because.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then it's got to be like, enough is, I don't know. Is that really going to be a good fight? It's only going to be a good fight when they put people that have never fought before, ever. Like two people that have never even trained. Cause they're both going to train, you know, like, so
I mean, it is fun to watch guys that don't know how to fight but have a lot of heart. That's the best fights in the world to watch. You know what I mean? The guys that won't quit. I think I told you before I reffed a fight one time where the guys were cussing each other out as they were fighting. And they didn't. They had no skill, no ability, and no reason to hate each other. But they were both drunk. Like, you smell alcohol, both of them. But I'm like, I'm reffing in a ring. And these guys are like, you son of a bitch. And then there's a fight in the crowd. So everybody, including them, stops fighting and is watching the fight in the crowd during their match. Like, we had to restart them in the same position.
Including them.
Yeah, the two fighters stopped. Yeah, they stopped. One guy got them. We're watching the fight in the crowd because there was some Samoan guy came out of nowhere and hit somebody with like a walkie-talkie, and they didn't even have security there, so I don't know how he had a walkie-talkie or why. But there's a video of it somewhere. He comes in and hits somebody with a walkie-talkie in the head, and they started fighting in the crowd. And the two guys, stopped during the fight and were watching. And then I had to restart them in whatever position they were in, and I was like, "You guys get back whatever position you were in." And a guy locks in a rear. The guy that was giving up the rear naked choke looked like Chuck Norris, like if he was a crackhead, a crackhead Chuck Norris. And the other guy locks up a rear naked choke. I said, "Are you okay with that position? Because I want to go home." And it was one of the last fights of the night. I said, "You okay with that position?" He's like, "Hell yeah, let's do it." And I told the other guy, I said, "You ready with that position?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Go." And he immediately choked the guy completely unconscious, like in 2 seconds, like he went out. And that was the end of that fight. And then everybody was saying,
"Forget about Samoans." You know that Yokozuna wasn't even from Japan?
Yeah.
I watched the Dark Side of the Ring of Yokozuna. He went to like Los Angeles High School. He was South Central. He was Samoan, but there was eight other Samoans. So then they're like, "Oh, make him Japanese." So he starts throwing rice in the crowd,
as most Japanese people do. Like, it doesn't have anything to. I used to love. We talked about before. I love how. It was kind of like how the UFC is now. Like, I love the WWE guys whose gimmick was they had another job. Like, IRS was an IRS agent and a pro wrestler. And then, like, you got, like, I'm trying to think of who else. Like, everybody, the people that had a regular job, like, they were a pro wrestler and they had a regular job as their gimmick.
Dude, like, they made the guy – so, like, they didn't like Dusty Rhodes. He was the American Dream. So they made – I think it was the one man gang, the African Dream. He was white.
Right. Yeah. He changed his name to
Hakeem, the African Hakeem. Dream. The guy's not even like a white guy, like from Pittsburgh.
Oh, Vince McMahon's such a genius, man. He's awesome.
I was, oh my God. Yeah, they, I'll send you these thing of like 10. It was like the 10 worst gimmicks in WWE history, you know? Oh, God, God, some of them are funny. I mean, some
Val Venus was awesome.
Val Venus.
Like, I love that Val Venus had to do porn on the side to make ends meet. I met him in person, dude. He is so unlike his character. You cannot even imagine it. He told me, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'll tell him anyway. He was like, yeah, I'm just getting over a real bad pill addiction, man. I was like, are you? And he was like, yeah, man, I was up to taking like 4 Percocets a day. And I was like, golly, man, I don't know how you got over that. But yeah, like most people have a problem or taking 20, 30. But yeah, he told me, he goes, yeah, but he's the nicest, unlike Val Venus guy you'll ever meet in your life. Like he was nothing like I thought he would be. It was kind of a disappointment, actually.
That's like George Animal Steel was a school teacher.
Right. Remember? Them guys are
Wait, I heard he's I heard he was a dentist. Someone said he's a dentist.
Who knows?
Wait, wasn't there a dentist WWE character already?
Yeah, there was a dentist. Yeah, no, that was Kane. He became Kane.
Yeah, he was a dentist. Yeah, he was a dentist before. And he wasn't like a very like a nice dentist. Like I think what happened is Vince McMahon, I think he would like get mad at a dentist he went to and be like, yeah, I'm gonna base a character on that son of a bitch. And then same thing, like the IRS was after him. Like, yeah, I'm gonna make a character named IRS. Like he always
The funniest, like, well, my buddy Chuck Palumbo, for first he was like, he was the they made him the gay character. He got married. And then like a week later, he comes back as FBI, full-blooded Italian. He was a mobster. But like nobody remembered that, like, the week before
he was gay. Yeah, it's kind of like Bruce Buffer, how nobody remembers each week after that he's gay.
allegedly for legal purposes.
Allegedly.
Yeah, mostly alleged by me.
Anyway, you guys are great. I love you guys. Have a great weekend.
See you guys.
See you, man. See you guys. Bye.